It's a great day. This is your life strategist, Steve Harris. How's it going? How you doing? It's been a while. I'm sorry. You know how it is, work and all that stuff. Been pretty busy, literally touring different states in Nigeria. And here's hoping I get to tour some international countries too, sometime this year. Alrighty then. As you know, we are already at the half mark of the year. I can't believe it. I mean, only a few months ago, seems just like yesterday, we were in January. We were saying Happy New Year, and now technically we are towards the end of June, just about to cross into July. Technically, about less than 170 something days to the end of this year. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm saying, man, there are so many things to do. Yeah, hey, so how have your goals been coming? I hope you've been able to achieve at least some of them. I hope you're making progress. If you're not, I do recommend that you go back and, check my website, www.iamsteveharris. That's www.iamsteveharris.com, and you can check out my previous podcast, the very first podcast of this year, Goal For It. And that's how I itemized and talked about achieving your goals this year in 2013. Alrighty then. Okie dokie. Now I'm really pumped and I'm really excited, and I'm excited to be dealing with this podcast today. Guess what? We are going to be talking about money. The green stuff. You know what I'm saying? Cheddar cheese, Benjamins, making that paper, whatever name we call it. But I'm talking about money. And my thought for today is, pretty simple. I call it what the rich have that the poor don't. I'm going to say that again. What the rich have that the poor don't. Now, I'm sure you're probably thinking about it. You're like, duh, come on, Steve. Of course, what the rich have that the poor don't is money. But if you stay with me after this break, we'll check it out and we'll get back to it. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
GT Bank Mobile Money. Simple money transfer.
Alrighty then, welcome back. Welcome back to my podcast. Or you can follow me on Twitter at I am Steve Harris. That's IamsteveharRis. IS. Alrighty then. Okie dokie. So we're talking about money this time. And like I said today, my thought for today is what the rich have that the poor don't. Now, probably sounds like a dumb question because you're probably thinking about it and you're saying, duh, Steve, come on, man. It's obvious what the rich have that the poor don't is money. I mean, if I had money, I'd be rich too. Now, I feel you, but stay with me for a moment. We're going to just get into this and, make some sense of this. Now, I've been thinking about the issue of money because you know how it is. If you remember my last broadcast, Mastering the Business of Your Talent, I talked about how, I started my business in October 2010, or by October 2010, I left my job, and March 2011, I started my business with about 20,000 naira. Between October 2010 and March 2011, I had about 20,000 naira. And long story short, by sometime, I think October 2011, I'd close the year with about 17 million naira. Now, if you haven't listened to that podcast, go get it. Just go to my website and check it out, Mastering the Business of Your Talent. So I've been thinking about money, and I know a lot of people complain that, there's no money in Nigeria, but man, I don't believe that, man. In this same country where, they say there's no money, 150 something million people are complaining, Dangote is technically the richest African on the planet. You know what I mean? So, hey, what is it about money? And there are a few things I just want to share with you that I've been thinking about. Poverty has evolved, and I'm not particularly a fan of the theory of evolution. I don't believe that I descended from chimpanzees or any of those things because it just doesn't work well with my narcissistic tendencies. But I do believe that poverty has evolved, and I believe that poverty has gone from, the guy begging you for alms on the street, or the guy who stops you in traffic and he forcibly tries to wash your windshield so that he can get some money from you. Poverty today in the 21st century has a job. Poverty lives in a nice part of town. Poverty has a car. Poverty, wears really nice fancy suits and dresses and can afford Brazilian hair, if you know what I'm saying. But guess what? Poverty is broke. Poverty is no longer found on the street corners. Poverty today is found in the boardrooms, in organizations, in banks, in corporate Nigeria, corporate Africa, or corporate global. So, there's a lot of people, I believe, who technically may be making a heck of a lot of money, but don't know how to manage their money. But now check this out. This whole podcast, as far as I'm concerned, is going to help you do three things. Number one, it's going to help you master your money. Number two, it's going to help you manage your money. And number three, it's going to help you multiply your money. So those are the three M's: master, manage, and multiply. That's what it's about. All right? So check it out. Now, scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I believe that there's a difference between rich people and poor people. And it's not just about their checks. It's not about their bottom line. It's about the way they think. Wealth, first off, is a mindset. I'm going to say that again. Wealth is a mindset. It says in scripture that as a man thinks in his heart or in his mind, so is he. So if your predominant thoughts are towards poverty, guess what? No surprise, man, you're going to be broke. But if your predominant thoughts are towards creating wealth, creating prosperity by solving problems, you're well on your way to making money, all right? But now there's a difference between rich people and poor people. Now, let me help you understand. First off, rich people use their income to buy assets. Their assets give them dividends or returns, and they buy liabilities from their dividends or returns. I'm going to say that again. Rich people use their income to buy assets. The assets give them returns, and their returns fund their liabilities. But poor people, on the other hand, use their income to buy liabilities. Check it out. Now, let me help you understand. A lot of the things I'm going to be sharing today with you might just probably not go down well, so I just need you to stay with me, right? Check it out. Let's go into the basic definition, okay? Assets and liabilities. I'm sure many of us are not necessarily into financial stuff like that per se, but you know, hey, it helps a little to work, but I'm just going to make it really simple, okay? What is an asset? Simple definition. An asset is anything that puts money in your pocket. Fantastic. Brass tack definition. An asset is anything that puts money into your pocket. What's a liability? Absolutely. Anything that takes money from your pocket. You get it? So assets put money in your pocket. Liabilities take money from your pocket. You got it? Now check it out. Let's just make a few examples. The car you drive, all right, is it an asset or a liability? Absolutely. It's a liability. Great. The suit you wear, the nice Brazilian hair, asset or liability? Absolutely. It's a liability. All right, check it out. The car that you buy and you use for car hire or car rental services, is that an asset or a liability? Pretty much. It's an asset, okay? Check it out. This is probably going to rock your world. The house that you build, you own, you build it, you're living in it. Is that an asset or a liability? All right, now I'm sure you're probably saying that's an asset. All right, I'm not going to agree with you. Now remember what we said our definition is. An asset is anything that puts money into your pocket. A liability is anything that takes money from your pocket. So now you'll tell me that, yes, oh, Steve, yeah, you know, owning my own house is an asset. Why? Because I don't have to pay rent and all that stuff. That may be true. But the money you've saved on rent, you're going to be paying taxes to the government. Your house is going to be, you're going to need to maintain your house. You're going to be, you know, different land charges and all those other things. But yes, I do agree with you that you would say that, yes, it saved you some money. But then again, you're spending money to maintain that house. But now check this out. The house that you build, for example, a block of four flats, right? If you build a building that has four flats, all right, and you're living in one of those apartments, okay, how many assets do you have? Absolutely. You have three assets and you have one liability, right? So rich people, check this out. Like I said before, they use their income to buy assets. An asset is anything that puts money in your pocket. From the assets that they invest in, they get dividends or returns. And from those returns, they buy liabilities. They buy the car. They buy this. So a rich man will invest, or a rich thinking man will invest in a business, and the business will give him returns. From returns, he'll buy a car. A poor man, on the other hand, will work his ass off, get his salary at the end of the month, and take that 750 grand that he's earned and use it to buy a car. And guess what? Once you buy that car, man, you can't even sell it for the value that you got it. You know what I mean? So that's what it is. So there's a difference between rich people and poor people. You need to understand this. Now, some of the things I'm telling you, I need you to be able to stay with me. I need you to just, you know, stay on this page. You know, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this ad from our partners. Don't you go nowhere. We'll be right back. And together we'll will be my delight. I'm never leaving you, and in everything I do, I'll be true to you. At Fidelity Bank, we have long discovered that the secret of lasting success is self-belief anchored on strong support. So stay true to your passions, and we will stay true to you. Fidelity Bank PLC. We are Fidelity. We keep our word. Alrighty then, welcome back. So we're talking about what the rich have that the poor don't. And this is my series dealing with money. And I said, you know, in order to be able to become wealthy, you've got to learn how to master, how to manage, and how to multiply money. And we just talked about the difference between rich people and poor people and assets and liabilities. But now let me just fill you in some things that you need to know about money, man. Number one, money makes a wonderful servant, but it makes a terrible master. Did you hear what I just said? Money makes a wonderful servant, but it makes a terrible master. Has it ever happened to you that, for example, I'm sure if you have a job, or you probably have a business or something or the other, and you get paid your salary, right? Let's say your salary comes on the 27th of the month, and you get your salary, and the second or third of the next month, you're absolutely broke. Has it ever happened? Oh, yes, it's happened to me a couple of times. You know what I mean? That's why I decided to become more financially intelligent about these things, right? So you just notice that, you know, you get your money, you floss, you ball, you have a good time, and 2-3 days later, you're like, where the hell did my money go? Man, what the heck, right? But you notice that, you know, when money comes, if you don't have a plan for money, money is going to have a plan for you. You don't hear me what I'm saying. If you don't have a plan for money, money is going to have a plan for you. All right, check this out. Let me explain this. All right. So imagine money as a servant ready to do your bidding. Okay. It often comes if you're a salaried employee at the time of the month you receive your paycheck. And when it does, it expects you to have a planned schedule of activities or duties that you're required to perform, which is called a budget. Now, check this out. I know most in general, you're probably going to be telling me, come on, dude, you can't be serious, man. So you mean, okay, having the budgets is the cocoa of the matter? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. But it is important because guess what? Now, you may probably tell me that a budget is probably inconsequential or insignificant, but this is what it is. A door, looking at a door, I'm in a hotel room right now. So looking at a door, it's pretty heavy. It's seemingly an obstacle, but the things that turn the door around or make the door work to your advantage are many times very small things. So you notice that the door, even as huge as it is, if I just turn the key, turn the handle and activate the hinges, it's going to open. So technically, little things open big doors. So if you can't master the little things, you won't be able to master the big things when real money comes. All right. So for example, you know, money is a servant. And guess what? If you don't, like I said, if you don't have a plan for money, money's going to make plans for you. So check this out. If you can provide a budget, money now automatically defers to you and then it becomes your servant. But if you're not able to provide one, money turns the table on you and automatically it becomes your master. So for example, you get your paycheck by the 27th. All right. And if the first thing that comes to your mind is to say to yourself, oh, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to buy? You're thinking about buying the weave. You're thinking about buying that TV. You're thinking about buying that, you know, that thing that's a liability that's going to take money out of your pocket, right? But you're not thinking about it properly because, listen up, check this out. This is very important. The thing about rich people save first and spend later. Poor people spend now and save what's left over if they're lucky. I'm going to say that again. Rich people save first and spend later. But poor people spend first. In fact, they spend all because technically, at the end of the day, there's nothing going to be saved. So if you fall into this category where you're spending all you get, you notice that by the time you're blowing that money, it doesn't really dawn on you that you're blowing money. But by the time you've blown it, when money comes and you're not prepared for it, you get into this phase that I call selective amnesia, like where you lose your memory, you just lose all sense of reason, right? And your most important goal probably is just to think about how to blow the money. And now you blow the money and then your senses do not return, or technically, let me put it like this, the scales fall from your eyes, man. By the time you've loaned that money, you're like, what the heck? I mean, I thought I had 100K, I thought I had 150K. What did I do with that money? You didn't plan for it, right? And guess what? The cycle always recurs. The next month, you do the same thing. The next month, you do the same thing. The next month, you keep doing the same thing, all right? So think about it. Rich people are into delayed gratification. Poor people are into instant gratification. I'm going to say this again. Rich people believe in delayed gratification. So, for example, I believe that if I can't afford something, if I see something in the store, you know, I really, really want it. This is the way I work. Trust me, man. When I get some money, I automatically have a plan. I save money, I invest money before I even start spending money. And when I start spending money, I draw up a budget. And on the budget, I just write out all the things that I expect to spend money on. So like DSTV, recharge cards, entertainment, you know, stuff for my kid, my wife, you know, entertain, all those kind of things, go into the movies, things that will, you know, recharge cards, things that we'll normally spend money on, right? Then, of course, there's a miscellaneous thing. But now this is what I do. If, for example, I go to the store, I go to the Palms, right? And I see something that I really want to buy, maybe like a real nice phone or something like that. If I hadn't planned for it in my budget, I'm not allowed to buy it. I'm going to say that again. If I go to the store and I find out that I see something that I feel really impulsive about that I want to buy just because I have the money, I say to myself, hold on a sec. Did I plan for this? Is this in my budget? If it's not in my budget, you know what I do? I walk away. I say to myself, you know what? I can't afford it right now. I will come back, right? I will plan for it in the next month's budget. But what many of us do is that we don't even have a budget at all. So we walk into stores and we see something really nice. You know, the ladies, you see the nice shoes in the bag and it's on sale. Key word that that stores used to get us. And we say to ourselves, this is a bargain. You know what? It normally costs $100K, but it's going for $75. Scam, man. It's just a scam, right? And we just buy that. And at the end of the day, you have buyer's remorse, right? So you've got to think about it. But now, think about it, man. Girl, sweetheart, homie, man. If, for example, you have a BlackBerry phone, I'm sure you're probably thinking right now of getting the latest, you know, BlackBerry Q10, Z10, Nokia Lumia, whatever phone it may be. You know, you're thinking about it. You've seen the adverts. You're saying to yourself, man, Omo, I need to get this phone. But dude, check it out. Let me ask you a simple question, man. How much has your phone made for you? If your phone is not making money for you, dude, don't be dumb. You're funding a liability, man. One of my friends taught me several years ago. He was a businessman. He's passed now. And he used to tell me that, you know, if he buys a phone, he would say to himself, he would set a target of how much he would expect the phone to bring back to him, right? So when I got a BlackBerry one day, if you check it out in my previous podcast, I did talk about this. You know, I got a BlackBerry one day and I was rocking a Bold One. I mean, you can imagine. It's not because I'm stingy, heck no. You know, but I really liked the feel of it. It was comfortable. It was a big phone. And I had this really nice, cool case for the Bold One. So it was perfect, man, right? So, you know, my wife, you know, she begins to diss me and says to me, man, you know, you can't be, come on, man, don't you know who you are? Can't be rocking a Bold One. I think they've even stopped making this damn phone. And so, you know, she literally takes me out to the store and, you know, buys me a Bold 5. Now, I must say here, you know, she didn't buy it with her money. She used my money to buy it. And I think at the time we bought it, it was about maybe 85K. And I was like, what the heck? How can I spend 85K on a phone, right? And I was saying to myself, I just blurted out, you know, like buyer's remorse, because I really didn't want to buy it. But I blurted out. I said, man, how much is this phone made for me, Sif? This BlackBerry I'm using, how much is it made for me? And sat down when I got home and I transferred my contacts. I found out at the time I had about 500 contacts. That was some time ago. And I said to myself, is it that these 500 people don't have problems I can solve or desires that I can meet? Because money is only exchanged when value is created, and value is created by problems, by solving problems or meeting desires. Heard me what I said. Value is created by solving problems or meet desires. So I was asking myself, what the heck? Is it that these 500 people on my contact list don't have problems that I can solve, or they don't have desires that I can meet? It makes no sense. And I thought about it one day. Long story short, I can't tell you what I did. Go get the other podcast. And in technically a month, or maybe about 2 months, I made 450,000 naira from my BlackBerry. No scam. I'm telling you, man, no scam. So if you have a nice phone, homie, and you're just using it to ping and change your display picture, you're on a long tin, man. You need to be slapped. You know what I'm saying? If it's not by, you know, think about it, man. You can't have an expensive BlackBerry and be hustling credit. Dude, get a life, man. Moving on. I got to move on beyond that. Check it out. All right. So going into this whole thing, I've talked about it again, but let me encapsulate secret number two. Money can never be mastered in its presence. It can only be mastered in its absence. I'm going to say that again. Money can never be mastered in its presence. It can only be mastered in its absence. So enough said, you've got to be able to prepare for money. You've got to be able to have a plan for money before your money comes. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know people would say things like, for example, you know, I mean, and that's the good people, you know, those who are saving. They'd say things like, you know, save for the rainy day. And, you know, it's easy to say save for the rainy day. Let me ask you a question. You listening to me right now. If you have a job, check it out. I'm talking to you right now. God forbid, if you lose your job today, how long will it take you to beg, borrow, or steal? Hear me what I'm saying to you? If you lost your job today, how long would it take you to beg, borrow, or steal? Now, check it out. I know, you know, this is what I'm saying, man. Poverty has evolved. Now, for example, bankers, oil company people, telecoms guys, you know, you guys are flossing, man. You know, you're on top of the food chain. You're making a heck of a lot of money. You're wearing some really nice suits, got some expensive perfume, driving some really fly cars. But this is the stuff that you guys don't recognize. So the average banker, hypothetically, is living a pretty good life, earning six figures, you know what I'm saying, driving really nice cars. But check it out. The lifestyle they live is an illusion. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that it's bad to, you know, buy stuff. No, heck no. do your thing. But remember what I said, rich people use their income to buy, to, you know, buy assets, and their assets take care of the liabilities. So the average banker has a job. He's flossing, making six figures. You know what I'm saying? He buys stuff he can buy. You know, he can take a loan to buy a car. Dude, what the heck? Why would you take a loan to buy a car? Why would you take a loan to buy a liability that you can't, you know, and you spread the payment for 5-6 months. And now, for example, you're not only paying for the car, you're paying for, if you're a chick probably, you're paying for the bag or the shoes or the hair that the lady came to sell to you in the branch, and it's 350,000 naira, and you say, okay, you know what, she says, you know, it's a deal, you can pay five times, just drop 50K, and you write five post-data checks for 50,000 naira. You're paying the Brazilian hair seller, you're paying the phone seller, you're paying the bank for your car. Who the hell is paying you, man? Think about it, man. Who's paying you? So you're flossing, you're doing this stuff, but the average banker, and if you're a banker listening to me, you can be real with me, man. The average banker ain't got no money saved. So God forbid, if you lost your job today, I heard a bank that I will not mention, you know, laid off some staff not too long ago. In fact, several banks have been laying off their staff. If that happened to be you, and you're for your family, man, what the heck, man? How long will it take you to beg, borrow, or steal? You gotta be financially intelligent, man. You gotta make some sense, man. You've gotta be able to start putting money aside and just start, you know, doing stuff. If you know, if you're a banker, even if you're not a banker, even if you're a student listening to this podcast, even if you're a young person, man, start. It may not seem like much. Now, let me quickly explain what I do very quickly, because I think my time's about running out. You've gotta learn how to sit your money. SIT, baby. Sit your money down. Now, all this stuff I'm sharing with you is stuff that I'm sharing from my new book that I'm writing. It's not done yet. It's called Honey, Why Are We Poor? Yeah. Honey, Why Are We Poor? And I'm just talking about how poverty has evolved and all the stuff that I'm sharing with you. So you got to learn how to sit your money. SIT is an acronym that I developed, and it stands for Savings, Investments, and Tithe. SIT. Savings, Investment, and Tithe. I'm going to just spend time just talking about the savings part. If I, another time, I'm sure I can talk about the investment and tithe part. All right. Savings. Now, this is what I do. Before money shows up, what I do is that I plan for money. So what I do is I draw a table, and on the table I have SIT on one column. Now on the S stands for savings, like I said, I stands for investment, T stands for tithe. All right. I personally, now I don't recommend this for everyone, depends on what your savings culture is. Most people don't have a savings culture, so you know, you gotta be able, you gotta work with what you have, right? But I save 20% on the average of my income. Now I'm sure you'll probably tell me, yeah, it's easy to save, everybody has savings account. Yeah, but now guess what? A lot of people have savings account, but do you have savings in those savings accounts? You know what I'm saying? You know, if you don't have savings in the savings account, then you got it, you got issues. It's not enough to have a savings account. You've got to have a plan for savings. So this is what I do. So for example, because there are about 23, 22 banks in Nigeria, what I do is that I have accounts in pretty much, you know, a lot of banks. And for each account, I give them names. Now, if you, listen, let me put it like this. You've got to give money an assignment. If you don't give money an assignment, your money will fly away. You've got to give your money a name. So for example, my GTB account hypothetically could be children's school fees, you know, because I got a daughter and I'm praying to God that I'll send her to Harvard, but Harvard doesn't come by miracles, man. You know, just by miracles, you got to also work for it. You know what I mean? My Oceanic Bank or Echo Bank accounts could be house rent. Another account could be building house projects. Another one could be travel. Another one could be education. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. So you can just spread. So for example, I save about 20% of my money and I fragment that savings into my different accounts. So I can put 5% in one bank, in Guaranty Trust Bank, for my daughter's Harvard education. I can put another 5% into another bank for this thing. I could put another into this one. You know what I'm saying? And this is the thing. This is the clincher. I do not touch that money except for the reason why I put it there. This is what it is, because a lot of y'all listening to me, you have savings account and you have an ATM for it. How can you have an ATM for a savings account? You're going to touch it anytime you have a need. You're going to touch that money. You know what I'm saying? You're going to go touch that money. But that's what it is. So for example, I don't have an ATM for my savings account because I recognize that, for example, the GTB account is for children's school fees, right? So if it is not children's school fees, I am not allowed to touch that money. That's what it is. I cannot touch the money except for the reason why I put it there. So if it's house rent that I'm saving for, whatever it is, if it's 5K, 10K, 2K, whatever it is, I know, because I know that my house rents will come, no doubt about it. My landlord is going to make sure that my rent's due. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to start waiting for the day my rent is due to start hustling and running around. No, I will start putting the money aside the year I pay for my rent. So for example, my rent right now is going to be due sometime next year in 2014, right? But from the moment I paid that rent off, I started saving again for the next one. But at the same time, I'm saving to build a house. I'm saving to, you know, take my kid, my family on vacation. I have an account for that. You know, so all those things are named. You've got to be able to name your accounts. You know what I mean? You've got to be able to sit your money down. If you don't sit your money down, it's going to get up and fly away, man. You know what I mean? You've got to plan for money. You've got to plan for it. You've got to learn how to master money. It's in the little things, all right? You've got to remember, like I said, and my time is done, so I got to just recap, right? You just got to remember, man, there's a difference between rich people and poor people, and it's in the way of their thinking, right? It's in the way they think. You've got to be able to start thinking about it, man. You know, right now, I mean, if you've ever listened to my podcast, Life is a Week, and if you haven't, go check it out on my website, right? And I talk about it, and I say, you know, 0 to 10 is your Monday. You know, 11 to 20 is your Tuesday, 21 to 30 is your Wednesday, 31 to 40 is your Thursday, 41 to 50 is your Friday, 51 to 60 is your Saturday, 61 to 70 is your Sunday. If you live longer than 70 years old, you're on public holiday. So listen, man, you have no business working on the weekend. Many of you listening to me right now, you're probably in your Wednesdays or in your Thursdays, early Thursday. I'm in my Thursday morning, Thursday morning, early Thursday afternoon. You know what I mean? Some people listening to this might be in your, you know, Fridays. I ain't going to be working on the weekend. My money's going to be working for me. You have to start making that conscious decision to learn and start putting these things to practice. You know, time really does fly. It's amazing. I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, what the heck? You know, I started this podcast and already we're in 26 minutes. You know what I mean? But hey, that's what it is. It is what it is. But man, listen, I need you to start thinking. I need you to become more responsible. You're in the area, the time of your strength, your peak period is now. You're probably going to be earning tons of money at this time. If you haven't started it, you don't have to have a, you can do it for your business, whatever the case may be, but I need you to start planning for your financial future. It doesn't take you by surprise. You know, my mentor, Philander Otoyo, always says this, you may not be able to change the past, but your future has no right to take you by surprise. You hear me what I'm saying? You may not be able to change the past, but your future has no right to take you by surprise. So you've got to be able to prep for it. You've got to be prepared for it, man. You know, soon, you know, one day you'll be 14 and you'll be wondering where your youth went, right? It's not about that. It's not about the phones. It's not about all that. It's about how you manage. You know what I mean? Rich people use their income to buy assets. Their assets give them returns. Their returns pay for their liabilities. Poor people, on the other hand, will use their salaries, their income to go and buy liabilities. So guess what? Let me ask you this. If you get a paycheck now, if you get your salary now, did you buy your phone, that expensive phone that you love so much that you ping and you share and you tweet with? Did you buy your phone with your money, or did your business buy that phone for you? Did what you invested in buy that phone for you? Just be real. Think about it. You know the answer. Ask yourself, am I rich or am I poor? I'm hoping you're not going to be poor. You know what I mean? But hey, it's been real. Check it out. This is your life strategist, Steve Harris. You can follow me on Twitter at I Am Steve Harris. You can get my books. I got a couple of books out there, from my first book, From College Dropouts to Corporate Sellouts. You know, true story, dropped out of school twice and today I'm balling. The second book, of course, I wrote, for those of you who don't know, ladies, From Friend to Fiance. It's all out there. You can call Collins to order any of these books on 0803-842-8989. That's 0803-842-8989. Check me out on my website, www.iamsteveharris.com. That's all. This is your life strategist, Steve Harris, signing out, saying to you, say it with me, baby. It's not what you don't have that limits you. It's what you have, but you don't know how to use. I hope you find it. I hope you work it. And I hope you use it. God bless you.